sitting at?
Three.
Oh.
Three and four. All right.
Yep.
A little bit of backstage magic for everyone. We thought we had a
couple, way to go, Danon.
We thought we had a couple more seconds before we get started. Luckily, no one heard that because we're not live. This is actually just being recorded.
Oh, thank God.
But let's just go on as if we were live right now.
Yep.
And if sounds we were good. Live right now, we would just like to say you're listening to KCR AM 1610, and welcome to the next episode of Roomies Talking Movies, the next best stop for all things movie news and reviews. Actually, Gandhi's favorite movie news and reviews.
I don't think you can say that.
I thought of something that no one could discredit us on. We only pick dead celebrities and say that it's their favorite thing because they can't discredit us.
That seems wrong.
Yeah, but the fact that we started after they were dead would disprove that.
Jackson, I have a Ouija board.
Oh.
Joined with me, as always, are my roommates and co-hosts, Jackson Salvestrini.
Good afternoon.
And Camden Powell.
Mediocre afternoon.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Did I do it?
A controversial start.
Did I do the thing? The funny thing?
A controversial
thing?
Episode.
Awesome.
All right. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, we talk about movie news that comes out each week and either review the latest movie or have a different topic to discuss. This week, we got a little doubleheader. We got a big topic and a very, very short film review. So, let's get started. Jackson, Camden, how was your guys' week?
I had a great week. It was fantastic. I got to go home this weekend. I went to Disneyland. I rode the new ride. It's very cool. I won't spoil anything. But
it's at Disneyland?
It is at Disneyland. I don't know if that's a spoiler, if I can say that or not, but
you might have ruined a couple people's vacations. But
it was my 1-year anniversary, so
aww.
It was a fun time. I get claps. I never get claps.
Limp air, hands in the air, applause. That's what you get. Jackson, how was your week?
It was pretty interesting. I did a lot of homework, and then I didn't have any yesterday.
Your life fascinates me.
Thank you. And then I have more homework to do today.
The grind never stops.
No.
As for me, I think this is the longest I've been outside this entire weekend.
We're indoors right now.
Well, yeah, but they don't know that. For all they know, the people listening.
We're on Mars.
We could just be squatting outside near the turtle ponds with microphones with a blanket on top of us to keep in the sound.
What do you mean we could be?
Please
we
don't
are.
Come to the turtle
Jackson,
pond and interrupt the show.
Give him a turtle noise.
I don't. Do turtles make noise?
Wait, you're about to show us what they make.
No, Jackson, that's microwave.
Well, I did my best.
Anyways, yeah, and then this daylight savings time was a real nip in the bud. I went to bed at 4 when I normally go to bed at 3. So I only got 4
you
hours.
You poor thing.
Rather than my usual 5 hours.
I don't
believe it 6 because of the time change.
Would it? Yeah. Hey, look at that. I got an extra hour.
No, it goes forward in time, so you lose an hour of sleep.
Anyways, let's get into the news. First thing, let's talk Marvel news. WandaVision has wrapped filming, and the series will release later this year in the November time. Is that winter? Fall? Winter?
Definitely.
Winter?
Sure. Spring?
Yeah, spring.
Because it's like spring forward.
Summer,
like the leap year thing.
November 2020.
Yeah.
Yes. So what are you guys looking forward to that? Any witch on robot action you want to see?
I hope they fight. Yeah.
It's just like a really awkward marital dispute for like 8 episodes, and everyone watching is really uncomfortable the whole time.
They're actually just in couples counseling for 8 episodes.
It's like
it's not funny. It's just really sad.
And then at the end, they just both go their separate ways, and it never ties into another movie, and we never see any of them again.
Who gets to keep the Infinity Stone?
Probably Vision, because it's in his forehead.
Well, did they sign a prenup?
That's a good point.
Because they should split it in half and then destroy the entire universe.
All your marital disputes will be answered on this season of WandaVision. Mark Ruffalo confirms his talks about possibly being on the She-Hulk Disney Plus show scheduled to be released next year. Yeah, I don't know why that's like it's not confirmed yet because it's She-Hulk.
Yeah.
And Mark Ruffalo's the Hulk. And for those if you don't know in the comics, She-Hulk gets shot and like using comic logic, they're like, the only one who could give you a blood transfusion right now is your cousin, the Incredible Hulk. And then she gets his blood and she becomes like She-Hulk.
What if they give her a different origin?
How is she going to become the Hulk?
Same way he did.
Gamma blast.
But she's a lawyer.
So?
So she's working on a radioactive test field. Duh.
Yeah.
She's suing the people that turned Bruce Banner into the Hulk, and she becomes the Hulk.
You can't just flip switches like this and then just get shot with the gamma beams.
Well, I'm glad he's gonna have more work. He's far in debt.
Hulk?
No, Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo. Yeah.
Is he actually?
I don't know. He is.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say he's like
at least $1 trillion in debt.
And of course, we know this because we're Mark Ruffalo's favorite movie news and reviews. He's not dead, but we can change that. Right, Jackson? Silence speaks a thousand
words. No, stop.
All right, a little bit of a rumor Camden wanted to talk about. Rumor alert. Jackson, set off the rumor alarm.
Rumor.
You can't just keep doing this. I don't know how to make
noises? You're doing it right now.
Oh, shoot.
Checkmate. All right.
You have a point.
Rumor. Henry Cavill might possibly be playing Wolverine in Captain Marvel 2. What do you guys think?
Why? Like, why?
I don't know. Because Wolverine in the comics is short, but Hugh Jackman was awesome. I don't think we need another, like, 6'5 muscle guy to be Wolverine. I want the short Canadian dude. He's just like, hey, cause. But he only has two.
I think you're just talking to yourself here. Why I don't really care. Wolverine... I don't even know why they're bringing back Wolverine.
Yeah, why would Wolverine be... Okay, why in Captain Marvel 2, though?
I don't know, because...
Wolverine. Like, literally, they could have made their own, like, kind of X-Men movies, but they're just like, oh, no, let's put Wolverine in Captain Marvel.
Well, Wolverine is known for being a galaxy character, like, one who always stays in space all the time and is never on Earth.
Yeah.
I'm lying.
Yeah, I was gonna say that doesn't make any sense.
All right, and then there are Loki set photos revealed showing the Time Police and possibly Lady Loki. Plus it reveals Owen Wilson's character is a Time Police guy and not Lightning McQueen, so I've lost.
Hey, there's still a possibility. What if he's just on the set as a voice actor?
I really, really hope they bring in more of the cars. I'd like to see Doc Hudson. He'd be really good.
Didn't he die?
Tomator? Maybe. I don't know. That's a stretch.
Doc did die.
Sally, the blue one. Stop talking about Doc like that. Can you respect him, please? He's trying to rest in peace.
His name
yeah,
is
but you
Dr.
can't bring him.
Lewis.
Yeah, he's canonically dead.
He is. They made it like a weird off comment thing.
No one really dies these days.
Except can we get that green guy? I forget his name. He was my favorite character.
Fillmore?
No.
No, from the first Cars, you know.
Sarge?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
his name's
guy.
Like Chuck or something, right?
Camden,
do a quick.
No, I'm just thinking really hard.
Just think loud enough so people can't hear your key. Dude, think harder.
Chick.
Yeah,
Chick
can we
Hicks.
Get him on Loki for
yes.
no reason?
I would love that.
Oh my gosh, his number, 1986, just thought of this, is the year Pixar was established.
Hey,
I'm a genius.
What an Easter egg.
Hey, keep those Pixar facts to our Pixar theory set.
I'm sorry.
All right?
I got
all right?
it. I got
we
it.
Can't blow through our facts that quickly. Jeremy Renner. Hey, has started his production for Hawkeye. He's ready to get back into bow shooting shape. The series is expected to film this fall, so probably in July, based on our calendars, because November is spring, right? Okay, so what do you guys want to see in this Hawkeye series?
I think we already talked about this
a few episodes ago.
Yes.
Yeah, we want a bow and arrow for sure.
For sure.
No crossbows, again.
Because that's cheating.
It's super cheating.
We need to lay down the rules right now. So
I hope he does like a sick backflip off a wall.
I hope he tries to do a sick backflip and he like lands on his shoulder weird. And for the rest of the series, he's just got a broken arm. I think that'd be pretty good.
I hope he loses his eyes, so they just call the series Hawk.
I think it's
about a bird.
And the last three episodes are just following a bird around.
Yeah.
All right. Next news. A Black Widow is unlikely to delay its release due to the coronavirus, although some films and other forms of media have started to show concerns about it.
Can we not get political, please?
I'm sorry. I did not mean to bring up politics.
Yeah.
This one.
Way to go, bud.
But the coronavirus will come up in a couple of minutes later in our next segment. But... Yeah, so Black Widow should release on time. James Gunn wants a Guardians of the Galaxy Drax and Mantis spinoff film. Why?
They chose the two not worst characters, but like least interesting characters.
Funny. I stand still.
I just think that, like,
my impression of Drax.
That was pretty good, except thank you. He's not stupid and annoying. No, I just think that it's weird that they pick, like, the two characters that thrive off of ensembles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Drax and Mantis are so funny because they don't get the rest of the Guardians, like, focus. And then if you take that away from them, it's just going to be, like, that awkward humor, but both of them, the entire film.
Also, Drax isn't that interesting of a character. He's, like, big knife guy.
I think that's interesting.
And then Mantis is, like, I can't do anything but make people go to sleep.
Hey,
that's
also
a pretty good superpower.
Yeah,
but you have to, like, touch them, and she's tiny, like, just she can't even, like, keep Thanos asleep when she's literally standing on him.
Granted, he did have, like, the Infinity Gauntlet, which can, like, kill anyone by touching them. What are you giving me quotation marks for? That's exactly what it does. All right, and our final
Marvel. You had it.
And our final Marvel news, it has been confirmed by Tessa Thompson that Christian Bale will be the villain of Thor 4, but not as a Marvel character, as the actor Christian Bale. Do you guys think he can handle fighting Thor?
Definitely.
For sure, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He's awesome.
He'll just Christian have one Bale. Of those flip-outs like he had on Terminator, like the set, where he's just like, you and me, we have done professionally! And just keeps yelling at Thor the entire time and makes him uncomfortable and leaves. But really, do you guys think he could be? Who do you think he could be in the MCU?
Batman.
Close. Except not only is Batman already
gonna be Iron Man.
He needs to be something man. Or else it's not cool.
It's gonna be very confusing. I hope he's the horse guy from Thor.
From Dream Horse?
Dream Horse.
The hit new movie?
Oh my god. I looked at it on the calendar. Dream Horse will be the last film we review.
That's so fitting.
Forever.
I'm so thankful.
Ever. We're doing one season and we're capping it off with Dream Horse. No, but that will be the end of our season. So stick around for that. The greatest film of all time, Dream Horse. We're calling it. It's going to be so
gonna
bad.
Going to win 5 Academy Awards, at least.
Best horse.
Danon, I got a new tool for the show.
What's the new tool?
So whenever one of us says something really epic, I can just go.
Can you not, though?
Jackson has a compelling argument. I think we should do that whenever we get excited or we start a new segment. Is that fair? Because someone, not naming names, Camden, was supposed to write the theme songs for every single segment of our show. And that sound effect means we are on to DC News. The Suicide Squad first teaser poster was released, and it was just a pile of guns.
And a hammer.
And a hammer.
Wasn't there like a limb, too?
No, that was a boomerang.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's a and Easter egg. They're going to bring Boomerang back.
But just the
character.
So hidden.
Yeah. But it wasn't like an actual release. It was like for the cast, and it was just animated. It was like hand-drawn weapons and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, it shows, all that it confirms is that Harley Quinn's in it because her hammer's in it. Captain Boomerang's in it because his boomerang's in it.
And Deadshot because there's a lot of guns.
And
Jackson,
Will Smith.
I can't emphasize enough how little Deadshot will be in this film, because he's not in it. Will Smith is not coming back for the Suicide
Then why did they have so many guns?
Because
what other character can shoot?
Probably all of them.
Probably anyone with
they
arms.
Can. Uh-oh. They don't have to.
They don't have to. That's why Harley Quinn uses a hammer, because it's convenient.
Definitely.
Stupid.
Well, who's going to replace Deadshot? He was the most lovable character.
I'm pretty sure we all agreed that Slipknot was the most lovable character. But, you know, the guy who could climb anything. Hold on to your butts, guys. We just thought of the best supervillain ever. A man who can climb anything. Well, can he climb?
Pretty terrifying.
Can he climb up buildings? Only if he has his grappling hook.
He can climb his way to your
I
heart.
Do think that
he
the
blew up.
Best DC
in your
villain
heart.
Is Snart.
Leonard Snart?
Yeah.
The Captain Cold?
Yeah.
He's not in the film.
I know he's
Commander
not, but Coldman. Snart.
Well, no, that's a different Earth. If we're gonna get comic,
I don't want to get comic. Yeah. Next thing.
You don't want to get comic.
Guys, I don't want to be comic.
Guess what came out this week? Uh-oh, the reveal of Bat Reeves. Oh, you can.
I'm trying to guess.
I just thought of another pun when I messed up. Bat Reeves Batman starring Robat Bat and Bat. Guys.
I wish we had mute buttons for Danon.
You guys really hurt my feelings. Okay, hitting the cough button a bunch of times, Jackson.
No, I'm pressing the off button, hoping it'll turn
off. That's on
you
your microphone.
It doesn't work, though, so maybe it's yours.
You're right. You're right. You know what? How about for the rest of this episode, you just keep trying to turn me off the entire time. But guess what was revealed? Camden, you wanted to make a guess?
I forgot my guess already. Can you just tell me what it is?
First images of the Batmobile for Matt Reeves' new Batman, starring Robat Bat and Bat. What do you guys think?
I don't like it.
It looks sick.
Uh-oh.
Meet me after the show, Jackson.
Okay, explain.
How rich? What's Batman's net worth?
A lot of dollars.
Like a Googleplex.
What's
no? Batman's it's and this okay.
Net worth.
So the new Batman film will focus on a Batman who's beginning, a Batman Begins, if you will. But it won't be doing Batman Begins because that was already done. So this Batman's just starting out, and I guess he's just grabbing like a Chevy Camaro.
$9.2 billion.
Yeah, okay, well...
And he can't get a better car than that? Are you kidding me?
But the thing is, how hard is it going to be being Bruce Wayne and then going, hey, I'm going to make secret deposits on a super tank?
Not hard. It wouldn't be hard.
He's never done that before.
I thought he was smart. Is he not smart anymore? We're just changing the whole character? What, is he going to kill people now? Oh.
Yeah, I think the last three renditions of Batman... did not care. I mean, they tried not to kill people. Well, at least Christian Bale did. He killed people.
Mm.
Like, he kicked a grenade into someone, and then they blew up. But, like, Ben Affleck's Batman was just, I'll snap a dude's neck in front of everyone. And then we're like, oh.
Sends a message.
But, yeah, Jackson, why do you like the Batmobile?
Because it looks cool.
I think it looks a lot like a Fast and the Furious type of car. You know what I mean? Like something Dom Toretto would drive.
I gotta take a look at it again real quick. I like the, like, front side.
I like how we also got a closer look at the bat suit in one of the pictures, so we can finally see what the ears look like when it wasn't the stunt suit. I think the ears look better because it's actually Robert Pattinson and not his stuntman.
Let me take a quick look at it.
Because last week we had the pictures of him on his bicycle.
Yeah, the ears look a little bit better from a distance. They still look a little off. I don't like the car that much.
Really?
I don't like that they went for a matte black look when I feel like his armor has like that shiny piece on it.
He should go for like a neon green. And
no,
like, oh god,
like a glossy black would be better. It looks more sleek and more like Batman, you know?
Batman's all about style.
He is.
He breaks a gun that killed his parents and slaps it on his chest. I'm Batman now.
Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, this kind of looks like a bat.
I guess I was gonna go for Gunman, but guess I'm Batman now. But what'd you think about it, Jackson?
The red lights in the back are pretty awesome.
I do like the red lights in the back.
They
I'll give
pretty,
it that.
They're
but
pretty clean.
Who wouldn't?
But also, yeah. It's like an exposed engine. What happens if one criminal is just lucky with one shot and just shoots the car? Is it going to be bulletproof? Like the engine?
How would you do that?
That's my thing. Like, how would one goon, like with their eyes covered, randomly shooting in Batman's direction, not like hit the giant exposed engine and kill him instantly? If that doesn't happen in this Batman film, I will.
Unrealistic. 2 out of 10.
No. Terrible. All right. And shockingly, Birds of Prey did not receive another title change this week. So.
No, I'm sad about this, you guys.
Why? All right. Well, we'll come up with the title for this week.
Okay.
Because we feel like it's only.
Harley Quinn, but with birds.
That's a good one.
Thank
That's
you.
That's a good one. Jackson.
Hawk.
All right. It's still fits.
Hawkeye Quinn.
All right.
I mean,
my thing is, mine is, it's one of those longer ones with a semicolon.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, Justice League semicolon. Well, it's like Justice League, but with none of the familiar characters and none of them are superheroes. And then Harley Quinn is also in it. And the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
I think like take out one or two words and you'll be good. Maybe the semicolon. Take out the semicolon.
I think
it breaks it up. Yeah.
Add more words.
And the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. Oh, look, Black Mask is the bad guy in this one. Oh, Zaz is also here. And it just turns into a summary in the title.
Yeah.
Camden, now time for your favorite segment.
Woohoo.
Star Wars news. The Mandalorian Season 2 is just finished.
You do that to, like, Elmo's world. Why'd you do that?
Dude, we can't mention Elmo on
the
show. We are currently...
He's right outside.
We are currently fighting a losing battle. With Elmo over custody over the term roomies, because apparently Elmo originated that word, and he's kind of a jerk when it comes to this sort of legal thing. But Mandalorian season 2 has finished filming. Any hopes for this season? Jackson, being someone who's not watched a single episode, what do you want to see in this second season?
I really, really hope they don't keep using Baby Yoda.
Like he just dies?
No, not that he dies, that he just stops being so important.
He was the main point of the entire first season.
I know, and so many Baby Yoda pictures just surfaced over the internet, and I was tired of it.
And you didn't
like,
even
we get
see
it. He's cute. Shut so up. Cute.
Yeah, we need more Baby Gru pictures, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No.
Minions Rise of Gru. Come into theaters this summer. Watch it. Or you'll regret it.
Like, have you noticed that a lot of people, ever since Baby Yoda, have started like
rebranding
their icons as like babies? Mr. Peanut became Baby Peanut at the Super Bowl. We saw the Target dog was like turned into a cartoon version that was
like a little baby dog.
Yeah, like a baby dog. I think that Baby Yoda has just had an effect on marketing because it got so popular.
I think it's BC gone mad, which is similar to PC. But his baby correctness. So I think it's baby correctness gone mad. What do you guys think?
I think he's cute.
Thank you.
I hope that they give Baby Yoda a lightsaber, but he doesn't know how to use it, and he ends up just killing a ton of people.
Have you guys seen World War Z?
Yes.
I have.
I hope they do what happens where the dude is scared and he runs up into the ramp of the helicopter and he slips and shoots himself. I hope something similar happens for Baby Yoda, where they give him a lightsaber and they're like, get back in the ship. And Baby Yoda does like a shuffle up into the ship.
Do you think it's going to be like a long passage of time between seasons? And like maybe Baby Yoda's kind of like a more
teenage
of a toddler
Yoda
than a baby? No, he ages so slow. He's 50 years old and he's still a baby.
I hope not. Like, oh. I'm not a huge fan of Teenage Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
I really don't like the weird. It hits too close to home. Let's not do any more teenagers. Keep him baby or keep him old. That's the rule. Fair? Are we in agreement, Jackson?
Sure.
No, I like Teenage Groot. He was funny.
All right. With the novelization of The Rise of Skywalker finally released. Also, spoiler warnings for anyone who's not seen Rise of Skywalker. Jackson, you might want to leave the room having you not seen the film.
I don't care.
All right, then. Well, you're about to have your socks blown off. So since Star Wars is now owned by Disney, I think it's only fair that they would sell us about half of the film and sell us the other half in the form of a novelization, which is what happened with The Rise of Skywalker. And some of our most burning questions were answered. Camden, what was one of your questions that didn't get answered in the film?
How many sand particles are on Jakku?
Did you say how the Emperor Palpatine is back even though he got thrown down a corridor in the Death Star and blew up?
Yep.
Well, funny thing, and in the film they were like, is he him? Is he a clone? He's a clone. He's a really crappy clone that couldn't even like get all of his fingers. Why was he missing one ring finger? That isn't answered in the book, that's for sure.
Because he got divorced.
He got divorced, and instead of taking off the ring,
it was
he took
really
off
sad.
His so the Emperor was a clone the whole time, no resurrection, clone body, but he was possessed with the spirit of the Emperor.
Yes.
I guess.
I feel like that's how cloning needs to work, though.
Well, then what's possessing all the clones in the other films?
Oh, my gosh. We're talking about a different thing here, Damon. They were making copies of a person with their own conscious mind, right?
Yeah.
So for the Emperor, if you were to make a copy of him, you want him to have the same mind. You don't want it to just be a copy because that's not what the original would have wanted. He doesn't want to die. So they need to transfer his consciousness over to the new body.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
And you know what? Go ahead and read these, but I have an argument against all of them, so go ahead.
Don't get mad at me. This
no,
is from the book.
No, I'm mad at you for what you said. Go on, read them.
Okay, Rey's dad isn't like... So people were confused. Who did Emperor Palpatine sleep with? Answer, he didn't. Rey's father...
He doesn't sleep.
He's a clone. He's just attached to the metal thing. He doesn't make a baby with anyone. Rey's father... You know, the big reveal that, Rey is a Palpatine. I don't even know how that works, because Rey's father was just a failed clone of the Emperor.
Yeah.
So, what did you want to rebuttal with?
I think failed clone in two senses. One, he wasn't Force sensitive, right? But he carried the recessive gene for it.
Oh. We're bringing out the Punnett square for this.
And two, he just didn't look like him. Or maybe that was what he looked like when he was way younger.
Ah, good old cheese.
Yeah.
All right. Next thing. Might upset you, Jackson, because I know how much you love that Rey and Kylo Ren romance.
I didn't even know it existed.
But the Ben Solo Rey kiss that happens at the end of the film was non-romantic.
I'm okay with that.
No.
It felt kind of out of nowhere. Like, I understood it, but I didn't see them as, like loving each other romantically.
So, my theory?
What's your theory?
You know Make-A-Wish Kids?
Yes.
So, how they get to, like, do anything that they want?
Yes.
He really wanted his first kiss, and he knew he was going to die, and so he just kissed her. Not okay, but I think it's a good comparison there.
I thought you were implying that someone... in the Make-A-Wish Foundation, rewrote the script.
No.
And then J.J. Abrams went like, yeah, okay.
No.
That's not your guess?
Not at all. Not even close.
Not even close. All right. And finally, Kylo Ren, or in this case, Ben Solo and Rey share one longing look, and you're like, oh, they should probably say something. And then he dies. But guess what he says? You think it's going to be some meaningful thing, Camden? You think it's going to be like some profound, like, I will always love you? Now he just re-says what Luke says like four times in the film. His final words to Rey are, no one's ever really gone. And then he dies.
Okay.
Well, that implies that he's not gone.
But
so.
Yeah. But where's his force ghost, Jackson?
It disperses.
Disperse to go find another.
Jackson doesn't know what he's talking about. Can we just stop?
What's your thing that you wanted to say about these?
I think that none of these were essential to the plot of the movie. I think a lot of people were just mad they didn't get exactly what they wanted out of the movie. And I think it's okay to leave things unanswered. And then Disney just caved under the pressure and then supplied answers for all of it. I don't think that these were like originally planned with the script. They were just like, oh man, people are mad they didn't get what they wanted. How can we fix this? So I don't think that they did a bad job with the movie. I think releasing the book was a bad idea. But I don't think that like they intentionally like tried to do that, you know?
Yeah, I agree with most of that, but I feel like one that they should have answered in the film is how the Emperor is back, instead of just giving a vague...
I was okay with the vague answer, though. It made him seem, like, way more powerful, you know?
Than he actually was?
Yeah.
Then he just blew
Which
up.
Is kind of the point of him. Like, he's powerful, but he's, like, not that powerful. Like, Mace Windu beat him, you know? Like.
Yeah, that's a good thing. All right. Camden?
Hmm?
Are you ready for... oh, weird. This is weird on our timeline. Something just popped up. I don't remember writing this down, but... Do you have plans for this weekend?
Nope.
No.
Thanks, Camden. Check out the House of Blues in downtown San Diego for some amazing concerts in one beautiful venue. Make sure to check out our giveaways at kcrlive.com. Write that down, you guys. I'm going to say it one more time, kcrlive.com. For a chance to win tickets to concerts throughout the semester. And stop by Music at the Mesa from 12 to 1 on Thursdays for more giveaway opportunities. You think you could do that?
I think I could very easily do that.
All right.
I'm talented.
I can type. All right. Are you guys ready? Let's get a move on some of the news because we got a big Pixar theory to go through. So let's finish up the rest of... We still have trailers.
Oh, my goodness. We got to go fast. Go. Talk really fast.
All right. So the guys... Okay. Godzilla vs. Kong runtime was revealed at 1 hour and 45 minutes, which makes it the shortest in the Godzilla monster universe. Do you think that will jeopardize its super complicated plot that they're going to proceed?
No.
Not at all. I think the whole movie, they're just going to fight. I don't even think it's going to have a plot. It just sounds stupid.
But that's all I want, Camden.
Why?
That's all I want. I just want to see Godzilla. When you say Batman versus Superman, I don't want a complicated plot involving Doomsday. I want to see Batman versus Superman.
I'm not saying they need a complicated plot, but I think they're just going to be punching each other the whole time. It's going to be a CGI mess.
Good. That's what I want.
Who do you think is going to win?
Definitely the giant 65-foot lizard that could breathe lasers.
And not the monkey?
Monkey! All right. In James Bond news, No Time to Die just got a little more time to die. The newest Bond film that was scheduled to release in April, sorry, Jacob, is being pushed back till November because of the coronavirus. They are said to lose $50 to $60 million from doing this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yowza.
Yowza.
You know, I hate to make this political, but I didn't see anyone in this recent election say that they were going to fight against the coronavirus.
To be fair, anyone who gets elected, it will not be in office till January, and I feel like that's a really long time away. I think we're just gonna stop talking.
That was a joke. That was because you can't make policy against the virus.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can. Hey,
stop getting people sick, or you're going to jail.
We're making it official. Roomies time, an RTM official law is being passed. The coronavirus is now illegal.
If you have it, get rid of it.
Get it out of your house. It's against the law. You're welcome, America. We just saved you. All right. I'm sure we're all happy that there's no more video game movies for this week. Mm-hmm. But guess what? There's video game TV news.
Boo. Guess,
is that a boo or a
boo?
Hey, The Witcher was good, even though I never saw it. But
that's
that was
a great statement of never following through and watching it. But guess what? Even more. You know HBO, known for its hit films and TV shows that I can't remember?
Mm-hmm.
The Last of Us is getting an HBO series. Jackson, why don't you tell us what The Last of Us was?
It's basically kind of like a story game where it's like a post-apocalyptic world where this like fungus infects a bunch of people.
A post-Catholic world.
And they can't see. They're like zombies, but they can't see. But they can hear. So like the whole thing is not to make any noise, and you go through the game. There's this kid. Is it, what's her name? Ellie?
Yes.
And
Joel is the old man.
I've never played it, but I've seen like playthroughs, and it has like a really good story, and it won a bunch of awards. The second one, that one came out.
That's not coming out yet.
It's not out yet?
It's coming
okay.
out soon.
They had the trailer for the second.
Dreamcast, who you cast as an old man? Like a 56-year-old man.
Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart. Wow. All right, Jackson, who do you cast as a 13-year-old girl?
I genuinely don't know any like young child.
The correct answer was also Patrick Stewart.
Oh,
yeah,
also,
he's playing
also Patrick Stewart. Yeah,
but
that was
they're only putting a wig on him. They're not doing anything else.
He
just
and he never
is
does
really
a different
good.
Voice. He's like,
yeah.
Ellie, we need to get out of here. Okay, Joel. Just kind of walk around. And in final movie news, Taika Waititi is making a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory animated movie for Netflix. What do you guys want to see in it? More Oompa Loompas? Johnny Depp? What? Who do you guys want?
Johnny Depp as an Oompa Loompa, just like a cameo.
Boom.
Boom.
Jackson?
Oh,
Johnny
wait,
Depp
wait.
As Charlie. No.
Guys.
Yeah?
Because, boom, you said boom, so I...
Camden, you gotta be on it, or we're...
What you say?
No.
You have to cut that.
I did.
Now we have to cut that out when we edit it.
No, because it's not longer than 10 seconds.
Oh, okay. You know the law? Really?
I
What's
do.
The law on the coronavirus?
It's illegal.
It's illegal.
It's illegal.
You're welcome, America. All right, Camden, time for your review, your quick review of this week's episode of Clone Wars Season 7. Granted that me and Jackson have not seen it, so you need to explain it in very dumbed-down versions. Go.
Okay. It was the third episode in the arc of the storyline where they're saving a clone who was thought to be dead named Echo.
Okay.
Okay. In the previous episode, it just cut off right when they found him, and he was like attached to like a machine and stuff. So this episode is them trying to get him out of there, and Anakin is there along with like some special defective clones. And on their way out, the Separatists try and capture them and kill them, and they go to the natives, and the natives are all mad. They're like, oh, why'd you bring war to our land? But they sound like this. That's pretty accurate, actually. And then they convince the natives that the Separatists are evil by showing them how skinny Echo is because they starved him. And then the natives fight along the clones and the Jedi, and they say that the Jedi always have an ally wherever they are because it wasn't a memorable planet.
Do they know that the Jedi are going to die within like a month?
No, they have no idea.
Oh,
there was actually a funny thing. One of the clones, I forget what his name is, but he's the one who just kills things really well.
Clooney?
George Clooney.
George Clooney, the clone trooper?
He's like, can't compete with a Jedi. And it's funny because the clones kill all the Jedi later on.
The clones kill so many Jedi.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's my review for the episode. I know Jackson gets bored, so I don't want to make it too long. But I thought it was very good. A good way to end the arc.
I think that they should, whenever they mention the clone Echo, they should go like, oh, no, it's Echo. 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 Yes? Sold?
No.
Got it. All right. I'm going to workshop that a little bit. I'm just working on it for when I talk to Lucasfilms, and I'm like, I thought of a new clone trooper, George Clooney, the clone trooper. All right, let's talk trailers.
Quickly.
Greyhound. It's Tom Hanks on a boat, which doesn't seem to ever work for him.
Wherever he is, it doesn't seem to work.
Amazing. Just kidding.
That trailer seemed to go
like,
on forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like it showed the film.
I'm kind of confused as to what's happening.
Russians?
Well, there was also like Nazis too, but like what was the point of it? I didn't understand it. I think I'm just stupid.
He's
but can
on
you explain
the boat.
It?
He has no air support. There are submarines.
Did you see that one shot of the torpedo just like hit it and then bounce off the boat? It was just like, oh, well.
I guess that, hey, we don't, we're not tornado.
We're tornado, not tornado experts. The music in the trailer made it seem like it was a horror film, especially when, like,
a
the
lot
radar.
Of the trailers this week seemed like horror films,
and
but they weren't.
Or like,
there was like,
or like
one.
Full on, like, hard R&B rhythms.
Yeah.
It. Like, it was confusing. Trailers are just doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. But all in all, Tom Hanks, stay off of massively populated forms of transportation because it never works out for you. Castaway. Captain Phillips. Big. I don't think he was on a plane for that one, but he did. He was like a 13-year-old trapped in a 23-year-old's body. All right, let's talk about Antebellum. Whoa-oh. I hope you remembered that slavery happened. Shame on you, Jackson.
Shame on you,
Jackson. Why is that shame on me?
No, but it seems to follow like the similar styles that they've done for Get Out and like,
yeah.
Us. It doesn't interest me as much as Get Out did.
I almost feel like they showed too much.
Yeah.
Like, if I don't really understand like what the plot's going to be about, but
yeah,
I feel like they showed too many of their big scenes that would be shock value in theaters, but I don't know.
Yeah, this is some big brain thinking, and we some small brain people, so we can't comprehend what this film will be about, but we can assure you that we will give a very confusing review on it if we see it. All right, next trailer, Scoob. I was interested in it. Now I am not.
I don't like that they broke the fourth wall.
I don't like that he dabbed.
That was the best part of the trailer.
It literally did the sound effect.
I dabbed in the trailer when he did that.
He went,
you
I was
were
like,
in
oh my
trailer?
Gosh, he dabbed. He did the dab.
Were you watching and then you just dabbed in your seat?
Actually, yeah.
Do you know who's voicing Blue Falcon?
Who?
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
It's awesome. He's like, Dee Dee, where's the balloons?
Yeah.
When I say Blue Falcon, cue the balloons. And then he just dabs. I hated it. I was excited. Now I'm not. Zac Efron's in it.
He
as
is.
Who?
As Fred.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's him?
Yeah.
Okay.
He could play a live-action Fred if he was younger.
Well, he's playing an animated Fred, so that's halfway. Jackson, if you sneeze again, I will kill you.
My cough button doesn't work. I apologize.
All right, you're
we'll
fine.
Try your sneeze button, bud.
I don't have one of those.
There's a difference.
There's three no buttons over here.
That's just backwards on backwards.
No buttons?
Or maybe... Wait, no, because these are off.
Yeah, those
the no work. Button just cancels our show. All right, next trailer, The Secret Garden. I got some serious Bridge to Terabithia vibes. Did you guys ever see that film?
No, but I've heard it.
Have you heard about Where the Wild Things Are?
Yes.
Yes.
And then that other film of like Ned Danger's Guide to Monsters or whatever that film was?
No.
No.
Well, it's like, it gives me the vibe of those weird like 2008 kids films.
Yeah, I know what vibe you're talking about here.
Yeah.
On the vibe scale, what vibes would you give it?
I give it a 6. I'm not really
six vibes.
I'm not really vibing.
That's a lot of vibes.
Well, out of 10 vibes, it's more than like, well, because like 6.
Oh my gosh.
Well, 5 vibes is like I could care less.
No, because it looks like a logistic growth graph.
Oh.
So it's very exponential in the beginning, but then right around 6, it starts leveling off with the vibes.
Okay.
So from 6 to 10, it's more of like a decimal value scale.
Then
anything lower than that, like 1. You're not vibing. 2, you're vibing like a lot more than 1. You know, it's very exponential up until you get to 6. So you just messed up. Try again.
I'm going to give you 2 vibes for that entire explanation of the vibe joke.
Isn't that a logarithmic scale?
I don't know.
Did I say logistic?
No, you
said
exponential.
It's a very logistic.
Yeah, well, it's exponential until it goes off. That's a logarithmic
all right,
thing.
No,
you guys
no
are
more math
arguing
discussion.
About a graph that doesn't exist.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure the vibe graph does exist. All
right. No, I'm right. It's logistic growth.
Interesting
what I'm talking
film.
About.
Are you guys going to have
okay,
a math?
We'll
we're
going
to need to save this for Rumi's talking mathematics here, please. All right. Animated film that came out, Connected. Not really interested in the plot. It's about like, hey, get off your phone, you dummy. Spend time with your family. But what really got
but
me...
But then the world just ends.
The world just... But the thing that got me was how beautifully animated this film looks.
It looks really nice. I think it's going to be like... It'll be a film, like, for sure.
Controversial opinion of
no.
the year.
Okay.
Of the episode. Not of the year. I'm not going to make that bold of a statement yet. I think I like Sony films more than Disney animated films.
Agreed.
Disney looks very perfect, kind of.
But they all look the same.
They all look like... Well, because they have the same animators
yeah,
working
know,
on everything.
Like,
but, like, Sony films look similar, too.
But they're
unique.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, you look at Onward, you're like, oh, this might be Monsters, Inc.
But I think just because it's, like, Disney pumps out movies so fast that like you're constantly looking at their animation style. So when you see something different from Sony, even though it's not different from things they've done in the past, it looks different in comparison to what you're constantly seeing.
Like if you compare Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs to Spider
Jackson.
God. Can you even hear that?
Like, yes. Yeah, it's so loud.
It's not that loud, but just stop sneezing forever.
Jackson has the coronavirus.
Next time, it's illegal. If you keep sneezing, get out.
All right.
We're not, like the movie.
See you guys next week.
We're not harboring a fugitive here, okay? But like when you look at Spider-Verse and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, like they look similar-ish, but they both are very different visually appealing films.
Yeah.
And I like that more than Disney. But we're talking apples and oranges here because Disney owns Sony, so it doesn't even matter at this point. Oh, wait, no. Disney doesn't own Sony.
Yeah, but they own everything else.
They own everything else. So Sony, just keep making films until Disney buys you. And then you'll lose your creativeness, and you'll just fall into the conglomerate blob that is the Disney Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
In other news, let's talk Radium Girls. This was a film about how radium is super poisonous.
Yeah.
I was watching the trailer and
I
was just like,
oh. I felt like I was just watching like a
documentary.
Not even. Just more like an informational film.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I felt bad.
I kind of wish they got superpowers from the radium.
So cool.
Oh, they do the thing.
Instead of losing hair and teeth.
Like acknowledging history type film.
I know.
But
I don't think
it's, you know, you hear Radium Girls and you're like, oh, wow, it's a superhero film.
No, they actually hate radium. Shocker.
I thought of a roller derby group called Radium Girls when I heard the title. There's a bunch of girls who are just like ready to throw down on the rink. Next trailer. Jackson, I know how much you love these films.
Well, it's a true story, right? Radium Girls?
Yes, yes. It's based on a true story.
Okay, so then. Yeah, okay.
Jackson, I know how much you love these books. Tell us what you thought about the Artemis Fowl trailer. Granted that you've never read a single book.
I've never read it either.
But it looks terrible.
I just can't get behind any movie that uses a child actor. Like, especially an action-ish movie. Like, it's like an action sci-fi movie. And it's just like, the main character's supposed to be cool. Like, oh, I prefer scared rather than dead. But then he's like a 10-year-old, and you're like,
You haven't been alive long enough to fear death.
Well, not just that, it's like,
did you see, like the stunts he was doing, too? There's no way a kid can do that. He jumped off of, like, a plane or something. And I was like, I don't think he did that. And he was like, I don't care. I'm hard. I'm gold. I have a cigarette in my mouth. And I was like, whoa.
I don't play by rules. I play with fouls. Artemis Fowl.
Gosh. Oh, I don't know.
Little do you know, I actually wrote the script for Artemis Fowl.
I think it's going to be a train wreck.
I think it's just going to be a movie.
Specifically because you wrote.
Because I wrote it?
I think more of a car wreck. I think train wreck is a bit extreme, Jackson.
Yeah, like more of like two people on mopeds.
We're foreshadowing for next week.
Why do you have to say, gust of wind flew in through the door. That's weird. Man, I really hope that nothing happens to me next week and I don't get hit by anything. Like a car or something. That'd be weird. It's a good thing I'll be here next week and everything, right, guys?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, so let's talk next. Saint Maud. I didn't like it. I mean, like, I think that was the vibe they were going for, but it really creeped me out. The chick who was just like, I'm going to save you. She's totally going to kill the old lady, right?
Possibly.
I'm trying to think of it. It's not memorable in my mind. I know I watched it, but...
Jesus freak.
Oh, yeah. What is that? What is that about?
So like, it's like a nurse...
Do you think she's possessed by something evil that's convincing her?
It's that God.
It's God? Yeah.
Probably.
Definitely, right?
Definitely.
God wouldn't levitate someone like that, but if he did, I would like it to happen to me, please.
You just hear like a slam on the room. Just like a... And Camden has left the building.
Oh, that one scene when she put the nails in her shoes.
And then just started walking on them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and then she was just like smiling.
Jackson?
Yeah, casual Catholic movie. I don't even think it's a horror film. I just think this is like a representation of what usually goes on in the church.
Really?
It's a political statement.
Really? I don't think that's true at all. Do you think the pastor... good morning, Father. And he goes, ow, good morning, ow.
Yeah.
Just like painfully.
That entire trailer was true to real life.
And we know...
They actually just filmed the Catholic Church for like a week.
They just went into a church and
it's a documentary, actually.
Like a dude just pulled out a simple like flip camera and went, and there's our movie. Final trailer. I'm gonna give you guys a little history lesson.
Oh my gosh.
New Mutants, a film that was originally supposed to come out. Don't do that, or people can't. Camden?
Yeah.
Please stop.
I stopped.
I'm not going to mute you. Okay. I'm going to kill you. So, New Mutants. No, it's not worse than being muted. New Mutants was originally supposed to come out all the way back in April 13th, 2018. Right, seems a long time ago. But then it got delayed till February 22nd, 2019 because they didn't want to compete with Deadpool 2 because it's all owned by Fox, which is now owned by Disney. And then it was like, we'll just do it then. Oh, no, Dark Phoenix, the best X-Men film. We're going to have to delay it till August 2nd, 2019. And then Disney bought Fox. So then they're like, oh, shoot, guess we got to delay it more. So now the film is coming out April 3rd. I believe.
I really hope if they have dates in the movie, they don't change them.
Oh, yeah.
It's just still set in like 2018 or whatever.
And they make weird references that we won't get anymore.
Yeah, like they're like very niche references from 2018 that we've completely forgotten about.
Yeah.
And what are some good references from 2018? What happened that year?
Definitely was a year that happened. I know for sure something happened. Infinity War happened, so we got a bunch of Thanos memes. Thanos car. Thanos car happened.
Tide Pods.
Tide Pods.
Tide Pods.
Oh. Take me back to 2018.
Ben Swolo, I think happened. Because that was the end of 2017, so it kind of carried over into 2018. Yeah, I'm not seeing much else about it.
2018, the most forgettable year since 2017. All right.
Yeah.
Time to get into our review. Hold on one second.
Bless you.
Ah, man, that was painful.
It sounded like
it. It was a hiccup that transformed into a burp that resonated solely.
I don't want to hear about it. Can you just move on, please?
You already heard it through the headphones.
I don't want to hear about it, though.
All right. So before we talk onward, what'd you guys think about the Simpsons short before the
movie?
We
literally didn't even talk about New Mutants. You just gave us the history and then...
That's fine. We don't need to talk about it.
What'd you guys think about it?
It was definitely a trailer.
It looks interesting. I think that it's either going to be very well done or terrible.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I don't think it's going to be like, that was an okay film.
It's either going to go hard and succeed or go hard, and then they'll be like, guess we're not doing X-Men films anymore.
I think it's going to go really bad.
You think so?
I think that it's going to be like the Harley Quinn type thing where no one goes and sees it. So it won't be like
it's
a terrible
bad,
movie.
But it's just because
but it's just people aren't going to go see it. So then they're going to like see it as a failure type thing.
It lost all the hype when it got delayed four times.
Yeah.
I forgot this movie was coming out until I saw the trailer. All right. Thank you, Jackson, for your analysis of the New Mutants trailer. I'm so sorry. I almost did not let the audience hear your thoughts.
You're welcome.
That was a trailer. All right, now what do you guys think about that Simpsons short that played before Onward?
I didn't like that there was a Simpsons short.
I didn't like it either. It was like the first time it
happened. Other than the obvious where Disney owns everything now, right? And that's why they played it. And it was like, Disney welcomes the Simpsons. And I was like, ooh, that's weird. But I didn't like that. Like, Pixar shorts are supposed to be like them testing out new things, you know? So they test out new animation styles or like one new effect just to see how it goes. And I felt like we were just like missing something. I enjoy the Pixar shorts. I think that they're like a kind of part of the experience when you go and see a Pixar movie.
Like, if we're just getting Simpsons shorts from here on out, I'm not really looking forward to Pixar films. Because
it wasn't even that good.
No, it did the silent thing that Pixar does,
uh-huh.
But it didn't do it well.
It made me mad.
Because like the lava short where it was like the volcano singing.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, it's a story. And then the one where the cloud tries to make babies and then he just makes like a porcupine and alligator. He can't make cute
animals.
Or
the one with the
snow globe?
No, the dumpling things.
Oh my god.
That one was good too.
Was
it Bao or something?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
And then she eats the kid.
Yeah.
And then the kid's just like, I'm leaving, mom. And then you're like, it was a metaphor.
Mm.
But then
they normally do really well with those, and I think that they're like
just
overall genuinely loved by fans. And now I think there's going to be a little bit of upset about this.
If they just start, they're like, "Oh, we're the Simpsons from now on." No, Disney.
No, I don't
think
that they will.
That. And it was so weird. It was so unnerving the fact that it was like Disney welcomes the Simpsons. And
yeah.
It just like and then Homer like took the donuts off his head and then ate them.
It feels like we're in like a dystopian future where Disney owns that.
Oh
no.
My God.
How did we let it get this way?
Jackson.
You know, back in my day, we'd call that a monopoly.
Yeah. But what do you call it now?
Still a
Disney?
Monopoly.
Magic Mouse.
The Magic Kingdom. Jackson, why did you let Disney do this?
I didn't.
You signed the contract. They didn't ask me. You signed the contract.
And they did it without my permission.
He thought he was signing up for a Rubber Ducky magazine subscription, but actually he was signing a contract.
They hit it. They hit it in the thing. They're like, "Hey, yeah. Jackson, you want
to? Hey, Jackson, could you
want to sign this package for your Arizona?" And they're like, "Absolutely! Oh, thank you for saying that we could buy Fox." And then they run out. And they're like, "Dang it! I forgot I signed every document for Disney. They gotta stop fooling me."
Yeah. The Simpsons short, in my opinion, was dumb.
It was dumb
and predictable.
It wasn't even
the two
good
things you don't want.
If you're going to show me a short that I can think of on the toilet, maybe don't show me that short.
Number 15. Number 15. Burger King foot lettuce.
All right, let's talk onward. Jackson.
Yes.
What was the plot?
Without spoiling, right? We're not spoiling?
You watched the trailer, you've watched the film.
Yeah.
Okay. Two blue kids don't have a dad.
Whoa. They're called elves.
Come Please, on. Jackson.
Two blue elves. Don't have a dad.
Gosh.
But
can't work in these conditions.
Two blue elves don't have a dad. And their dad.
Why don't they have a dad, Jackson?
He got sick. That was the wording used in the movie.
That. They just
they didn't
imply the sickness.
It's a sensitive topic. They're not going to say, "Oh, your dad died of stage 4 brain cancer." Like,
God.
Well, now, no.
Can you imagine?
This would be magic brain cancer.
Well, I think that was it was intentional.
It was intentionally
vague. On how it was a sensitive topic for the kids.
Yeah.
Either way, it was the younger one's 16th birthday.
What's his name?
Ian. Yep. Right. Okay.
I honestly don't remember most of their names.
Ian Lightfoot.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Nice job.
Thank you. Yeah, I remember.
He knows the main character.
Yeah, it's Ian's 16th birthday. Their dad left behind something for when both the kids were 16 or older. It happens to be a magic spell and some rare crystal that can bring him back to life for one whole day. One whole day.
How many hours is that?
That's 24.
And what would you do if you knew you only had 24 hours? Would you perhaps set a timer and then that paces the entire movie?
I would.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
That's exactly what happened.
Would you also have inconsistent time jumps
where
something that should only take 20 minutes took 3 hours?
Yep, yeah. Exactly. But,
yeah,
so,
weird.
The kid, the younger one, has magic inside of him, but since it's the first time he's been using it, he messes up the spell. The only part of his dad that he revives are the legs.
Hilarious.
So they go on a quest to find another one of those gems, and they're super, super,
what's it called?
Super rare.
What
the
bird is it named after?
Phoenix
nice.
Gem. Get it? Because, like, rebirth, he's being reborn for a day. So clever.
I actually didn't, like, put that together till now.
I'm
impressed
it.
With you, Jackson.
I was like, Phoenix Gem. Wow, they're bringing him back to life. So clever.
That's why they called the X-Men film Dark Phoenix, because they're like, guys, we're bringing back the X-Men. And they watch it and they're like, please stop. All right, Jackson.
And then, they go on a quest. It's like a Dungeons and Dragons type thing.
Do they
then,
go
yeah.
backwards or do they go?
On.
Forwards.
They go onward.
Forward.
It's really funny.
Can we just talk about why the movie is named Onward? I mean, obviously there's like the whole meaning of, oh, we need to move on from our past. But literally
I didn't get that from the title.
Barley goes, oh,
Barley's
to
the
drive
brother.
The car, you need to put it into the gear shift called Onward. It's drive, but he just put an O over it because he likes Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, it's the name of the movie.
The
it's
name
like
of the movie.
Oh, yeah,
what are we, some kind of Onward?
Needs to be a new rule. If you ever want to bring up your title in the film, you got to phrase it in an existential question. What are we? Some kind of... And then fill in the title.
What are we? Some kind of Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith?
What are we? Some kind of Jaws 4? But before we get into more nitpicky stuff, let's talk characters. What did we think about Ian?
I just want to talk about casting for a second. I think they did a great job. I was kind of worried when I was watching the movie. I'd be like, that's Tom Holland. That's Chris Pratt. But I feel like they did a good job casting those two because they were very like convincing in their roles. I think that they did a very good job of like kind of differentiating themselves from the characters. Even though if you were to be like, oh, wait, I'm listening to Tom Holland's voice right now, you could totally piece it together. But it wasn't like distracting for me. So I think that the casting for the characters was very good.
I thought that Chris Pratt is a much better voice actor than Tom Holland, because Tom Holland always plays the awkward teenager, whereas Chris Pratt, he'll play like, fearless leader, the clueless nobody, the dumpy loser. It's like Chris Pratt got the range.
He does.
And Tom Holland was also just kind of young, like himself.
And he's like still kind of like new-ish to acting. I wouldn't say new.
I don't think so.
Isn't
because
he like 25?
All the roles that he's been in really are roles like that. Like he's being typecasted, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But like it worked well for this movie, I think. Yeah. I don't think that I have any complaints about this movie. But
yeah, no. I just hope.
I think we should just criticize his acting more though.
Shame on Tom Holland.
Yeah,
how
seriously.
Dare he be typecasted?
Yeah. Totally his fault too.
Totally his fault. I think he has full control over that, and then he's just choosing to do that. Everyone else is kind of forgettable. Dad's legs, pretty good.
Yeah.
I hate the mom, super, super supportive. Oh,
definitely.
The manticore was annoying.
The manticore was kind of annoying. Yeah.
So the manticore owns, what is
Chuck
it?
Chuck E. Cheese.
It's essentially a Chuck E. Cheese
tavern. It's called the manticore.
Did you talk about the backstory of this movie? Because I feel like that's kind of important, Jackson.
Oh.
No, but you
okay,
can
so,
if you want.
So in their universe, we'll talk about how it connects to the Pixar theory later.
Well,
but
we don't
in
know
there,
how it connects yet. We're going to have
I
to
do.
Make it.
And
you know.
I've thought about this and I've had conversations about this. But
with professionals, experts in the topic.
In their universe, they're like ancient times, like their medieval times. It was like all the same, and except they had like wizards and stuff like that. It's kind of like the backstory of all like D&D stuff. So there were wizards and there were like sprites and fairies and elves and all that types of things. And they like... Wizards basically ruled everything because they could light things on fire and create light. But then with the Industrial Revolution, light bulbs were invented and wizards kind of became obsolete. So,
which doesn't make sense, in my opinion.
Like, I agree.
I
if you
it.
Have magic, I feel like you can't really replace levitation with a modern invention.
Exactly.
You know?
You wouldn't need to buy a plane if you could just get one wizard. Hey, we're all going to go to Seattle. And then it's free. Or you pay the wizard.
I mean, obviously, there's people who aren't wizards who probably were like, oh, well, I don't want to live in a world where I have to rely on other people for me. And that's how it kind of happened. And then
so
because
they rely on an airplane instead.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't mean the profession should just become obsolete.
That,
like, there's still
a lot. Well, but the
thing
is, it didn't become obsolete, though. It just, like, wasn't as common. Like, his dad, am I allowed to say this?
No, you can't say anything else for the rest of the episode.
His dad was obviously a wizard because
he dabbled in wizardry. He was an accountant.
Yeah, well, but on the side, he was a wizard, you know.
Like a drug dealer? Like, that was his side hustle?
Yeah, so, like, basically, like, all those, like, they're all still their own, like, races of, like, elves and, like, sprites and things like that. But the fantasy of it kind of went away, and they were just, like, normal people living in, like, a normal life that was, like, sort of mystical. So they lived in, like, mushroom houses and things like that.
I think that they had a nice message to it.
Yeah.
But they went really hard in their overarching message, like in the first 3 seconds of like the film.
Yeah.
They're like, technology is ruining everything. Like right in the beginning, you're like, all right. And then they have the nicer theme of like, hey, so if you don't have a dad, that doesn't mean that you won't have someone to like support or raise you. And you're like, oh, that's a nice one. But they were like, technology is sin. And like the first like.
So like no one's really a wizard anymore. And if you are magic, I guess.
Something like that.
Something like that.
But anyways.
What were we talking about?
Now we're back up to speed. I thought that so since the husband's dead, the mother is gotten into dating, which they showed that like a stepdad doesn't have to be your enemy or anything like that.
He was in the beginning because cliche step parent don't like him. But
he's literally a cop.
Yeah.
Is he a centaur?
He's a centaur.
Yeah.
But he's not like you would expect like a centaur to be like majestic. He's like a modernized centaur who's like.
Bit of
he's
a beer
fat
belly.
Now. He doesn't run fast because why would he do that when he has a car? You know, it's all things like that.
But do they all learn their lesson and have a little more magic in their life at the end of the film?
Of course. Would it be a Pixar film if it didn't?
No. It would just be another movie, Jackson.
Yeah,
it would just be another movie. What were gimmicks? I thought the best joke in the film was when they were driving, they had to pass a bridge. And they it wasn't like a spoken thing, but it was such like a little visual gag. They gave money to the person who was working, and it was a troll. So they paid the troll toll to cross the bridge.
Oh,
I thought that was clever.
Yeah, it's clever.
Good job, Disney.
There were a lot of clever little things throughout this movie.
I kind of ran out of the gimmick halfway through.
So the only reason that like the audience, and I guess Ian as well, knows anything about magic is through his older brother, Barley.
Barley?
And Barley kind of like guides him through, and like teaches them spells and stuff. And it's weird because they have a game which is just D&D, mm-hmm. and they have like cards and stuff for it, but it's all based on reality,
like yeah. history, their own
like their own history. So like all the spell, like the spell book he has for his game, it works. Like they're real spells.
It's a literal spell book.
Yeah, and he has like cards and stuff. Like, oh, it's the Manticore's Tavern, and then Ian's it's like, "That's a fake place." And Barley's like, "No, no, no, it is a real place."
That's more of a stepdad thing, you know? Because he's a horse.
He's a horse.
A dream horse.
A dream horse. It all comes back.
This movie was just Dream Horse in disguise.
So, what did you guys think about the jokes?
Working hard or hardly working?
Man, I've never heard a joke so much that I never think it will be funny ever again.
Oh, I thought it was hilarious because they obviously hated the joke, you know? And then by the end, it like showed like, oh, it's growth, you know?
Oh, that's weird because I obviously felt like I hated the joke when they said it 5 times in the film.
They said it twice.
They said it at least three times. Yeah, at least.
Oh, yeah? Yes. Pinpoint him.
Okay, right in the beginning.
Right in the beginning, right at the end.
He mocks him in the middle.
Yeah, he mocks him in the middle.
And then he says it again jokingly towards his brother.
Remember when he turns into him?
Yeah.
He makes the joke.
We're working hard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that was funny. You guys just don't have a sense of humor anymore.
You kids
just don't get it.
Hey, technology is a sin, guys. Come on.
Come on.
All right.
Hey, I'm older than you.
What other jokes were there?
I can't.
None. It was a very serious film.
It was a very somber
film.
It
was really cliche. The entire movie.
The entire
movie. Like, so cliche.
I think the first. How long was the movie?
An hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was.
I think the first hour and 15 was just cliches upon cliches.
Yeah, but that's kind of the point, isn't it?
Oh, you don't trust yourself. You don't have the magic inside you because you don't believe.
I'm talking about different cliches than Jackson. I'm talking about cliches like, oh, we must go on the quest, you know? And like,
that's
that was
not
like
a
the whole
cliche.
Point.
That's like,
that
a,
is.
I mean, it is. But
it's,
I mean,
it's a cliche.
Yeah, but what film are you going to watch that doesn't have a plot?
Dream Horse.
What are we watching? Some kind of Suicide Squad?
Maybe. Yeah.
I think it was a cliche. The entire movie just like kept beating a dead horse, but I think it worked.
Beating a dead dream horse.
Beating your dead stepdad.
No, it worked. It was a good film. I enjoyed it. But it's definitely not like high up on my list. Oh my gosh, we have to rate it.
The end was really
worry.
Good.
Did you not have your pre-recorded?
No, I do. I do.
Okay. Well, I'll vamp for a bit with the rest of this while you guys are going. So we've gone over it. As you expect when you watch a Pixar film, you want to have a lot of heart in it. You want to have a little, ooh, that makes me feel. But this film does it, I think, a little too late and a little too lot. Like, what happens is they have, like, a fun adventure throughout, and it could just have, like, a kind of nice ending. But what it does is right near the end, in every Pixar film, they have, like, the whole moment where they start fighting each other. And they're like, you were never with me. You're just a jerk. But this film, it happens and is resolved within the same 3 minutes of it happening. Like, Pixar always does a good pacing. Like, Up. It starts off, and it's like, oh, my God, this man has had a full life with the love of his life, and now that she's dead, he's miserable. In this film, it's like, adventure, adventure, adventure. You already got to see Dad. You hate me, and you've ruined this entire day for me. And then within 5 minutes, he goes, we're brothers, right? We're two brothers. We're going to be A-okay. And then in the end, spoiler for those of you who want to go into Onward without watching a trailer, they bring back the dad, but Ian doesn't get to see. He makes the choice. He goes, hey, I never saw Dad, so I will continue not to see Dad. You gotta say goodbye to him, Barley. And then he gets crushed by like 20 feet of rubble.
Well, that's important because
the rubble actually misses him entirely, which is amazing,
which is phenomenal because he was right under that dragon.
The whole thing of Barley getting to see his dad is important because he opened up to Ian about another time he saw his dad, and he didn't want to say goodbye to him because he didn't look like his dad because he was like hooked up to like IV tubes and stuff, mm-hmm. and so Ian wanted to give him that chance to like get his like closure, and Ian felt like, I already have like my dad or like my role model, you know.
It's you.
It's
and it was
you.
Nice, but it was like. All the Pixar, like, archetype steps all came in within, like, the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I think they were having fun with the film. And then they, like, looked at their runtime and they're like, we can't make this 2 hours. And so they had to speed everything up at the end. I mean, it was okay. And at the end, Horse Cop Dad starts running everywhere. Everyone gets a little more magic. Ian's more confident in himself. He makes friends. Barley gets a new van because his van gets destroyed. Oh, rest in peace, Guinevere. But let's talk, before we get into the Pixar theory, let's talk some complaints. Why does everyone hate... Why... don't you correct me and let me know that I forgot something. Jackson, why don't you make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, and YouTube at KCR College Radio for weekly news and sports updates, as well as the latest giveaway opportunities. I thought that was a really awkward part of Onward because it kind of came out of nowhere and didn't connect to KCR at all. I feel like that was a shameless
yeah,
cash grab.
Definitely.
And we didn't get any money for it either. So I think we should sue, but we're kind of still dealing with Elmo. But anyways, one of my complaints, why does everyone hate Barley? I get that he's like, so the thing is, the film makes him like, he's one of those people who he like changed himself to an old fountain because he's like, people used to come here after long quests to drink water. We can't just destroy the past. And you're like, yeah, that's not a terrible thing to do. And then like, they're like, Barley is the worst person ever.
Yeah, he's portrayed as like a screw up. And like,
He's not.
He's just different.
And he's super supportive of Ian.
What if that's how Pixar is showing that reflects society today? What if that's...
It's the Joker movie.
We do live in a society.
We do be living in a society, though.
But like, here, he's taking a gap here. He's not going to college. Like, what if society just sees those people as screw-ups? People who get enjoyment out of, like, fantasies, like Dungeons and Dragons. Like, they waste their time on useless things like saving monuments instead of, like, doing what they
should. I do have a question, though. He's not living in fantasy because the world is fantasy.
Yeah, true.
Isn't he just a history buff? But, like, he just like likes history.
And everyone gets mad at him for like knowing a lot about history.
Yeah, like,
but
I don't know.
Still society.
If you are taking a gap year or you like history, you're what's wrong with
you. Know who reminds me a lot of Barley?
You.
Danon.
Guys, I
screw up.
You guys found my Dungeons and Dragons. You guys found my Dungeons and Dragons book, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right, but anyways, let's give it a final review before we talk about our next topic. I'm giving it a Stuart Little.
Didn't you already give the movie that?
No.
Didn't someone give
it? No.
Was that?
No. Jackson, you're wrong.
All right, well, I'm giving it a Postman Pat, the movie.
Oh, no, go ahead, ask him.
You didn't really like it? Or you really loved Postman Pat?
No, I love Postman Pat.
Oh, okay, I just want to make sure. Because like, I thought Stuart Little was fun, but I probably won't watch it again.
Yeah.
And you love Postman Pat.
Yeah,
so
I've seen it at least 10 times.
Okay.
At least.
Nice.
I'm giving it a That Darn Cat.
That's a good one. I saw poster for it twice.
Yeah.
In a list of films that include cats.
Uh-huh. After a kidnapped bank teller uses a neighbor's wandering cat to send an SOS, the FBI assigns a cat allergic agent to the case.
They're not right for each other.
Because he's allergic. Oh, my gosh.
And for those of you who are confused by our rating system, don't worry. Every single semester, which will be a new season, we will have a new rating system for you guys to be equally confused about. This one just so happens to be only cat-related films. And with that being said, Jackson, shut your laptop. Camden, can you make like a slap noise to make it sound more... Wow, that was a loud laptop close. All right.
No, I can do it with my mouth.
Close your laptop.
It's not like the Kit Kat commercial.
All right, we're going to get sued because we're too close to the music. All right. Now, Jackson, like I asked you last week, you kind of knew what the Pixar theory was?
A bit.
A wee bit. But we're going to break it down for you, me and Camden. We're going to switch off every film to show you how it connects. So I found this timeline online, and we'll give you a dumbed-down summary of it. For those of you who want to listen, to look it up while we're going through it, so all of our moms, if you want to stay involved, it's on pocketlint.com.
Also, I recommend Super Carlin Brothers on YouTube. They have a great video about it where they go through and explain everything to you if you don't like reading. So,
yeah.
And they have visuals.
Oh, my God. So does the article.
No, you can't put visuals on writing.
You're what's wrong with society, dude. You're not
D&D. I'm not the Joker.
All right, so let's show you how this timeline works.
We're going to show you.
We're starting at the beginning. The very beginning. Not the dawn of time, but like millions of years after that. What if the dinosaurs never went extinct, Jackson?
You should explain to the audience what the Pixar theory is, just in case they don't know.
Oh, yeah. Like you don't know what the Pixar theory is? Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a very short explanation. The Pixar theory states that all of the Pixar movies take place in the same universe and they all follow one generic timeline.
Yes, this started around 2013, 2014, and has been a very popular.
And it keeps getting updated every single movie that
and
comes
we
out.
We are going to be. We're gonna. This is your hot take. We're gonna be the ones to answer where Onward comes in. Would we be correct?
Spoilers. It's a very boring answer.
I think my suggestion.
Well, you're gonna be wrong no matter what you say. I'm gonna prove you wrong. No, actually, like you're wrong no matter what you say.
Are you saying it because you watched a YouTube video?
No. This was actually Dylan's theory, and then I was like, oh yeah, you're right. Like, there's really no other choice in this.
Well, shocking. Someone can be wrong that's not me.
No, you're always wrong. Okay, let's go.
All right. First things first, The Good Dinosaur. This shows a world where dinosaurs never went extinct and how quickly they can advance to close to human-like levels of awareness, foreshadowing the capability of animals in the future.
So we're introduced to one of our three main categories for the Pixar theory. There's animals, humans, and machines. And it all kind of follows emotions, I'd say.
The food pyramid of the Pixar theory, if you will.
Emotions powers the whole Pixar theory.
Emotions.
And we'll get
into
that after we talk about how each movie falls on the timeline.
So now that you know Good Dinosaur, what happens next, Camden?
Brave happens next, set in Scotland.
Scotland.
The witch is crucial to this theory. She has the ability to travel anywhere with, like through doors, like in Monsters, Inc. And some of her items in her hut can move by themselves also, hinting that other things getting sentience that aren't alive. So you think she has magic and the knives fly around her, but then she says something wrong and the knives point at her. So that kind of hints that she's not in control of them. They're just kind of like friends, you know?
Yeah, like.
So it shows that things are sentient that like aren't necessarily humans or animals.
Are you following us so far?
I am.
All right. Well, we're about to blow your socks off with this next one. Doubleheader, The Incredibles and The Incredibles 2. It takes many liberties with this one because it kind of doesn't really fully explain that. Like with superheroes, but it kind of also it hints that maybe the U.S. government created the first superheroes all by harnessing emotions, a powerful energy that humans create. While superheroes eventually die out, the collection of human emotions continues, largely thanks to a super corporation, super big part of this theory, called By and Large, which also makes use of the AI technology that Syndrome creates to defeat the superheroes. Oh, snap. There's all three of them. Now we have humans, animals, robots.
So the reason you're allowed to like believe this theory is because of all the connecting pieces throughout the movies. So they have like a Buzz Lightyear doll in like Finding Nemo in the dentist's office, or By and Large they have like batteries and like machines that they build in trucks and things like that. The Pizza Planet truck is in a lot of the movies. So moving on to Toy Story, the Pixar theory somehow figured out that By and Large created toys in order to harvest the power of human emotions, which is why the toys are allowed to come alive. Through human emotions, though that same energy the toys are collecting, it makes them come to life. I explained it well, and Danon wrote me down something, but I already explained it.
Wait, so what is this By and Large? Where does it?
They're just like, imagine Amazon, kind of.
Oh, like is the name hinted somewhere, or is that just like a name?
Like on batteries it says By and Large.
It's subtle thing.
It's like it's like Costco. It's just like a name brand.
Like Kirkland, but it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's like
so they do
no
a
other...
ton of different things, kind of like Amazon.
Is United States confirmed in the Pixar universe?
Yes.
Yeah. Because they have the same locations
as
us.
They take place in Iowa. Like, they're just going.
So it's set on Earth. The Pixar theory is set on Earth, and you can see that later on when we move to like WALL-E and things like that. So, Toy Story 2, it shows that the toys can have resentment towards human beings, and that comes into play later on.
Like how the knives were getting mad at the witch? Things that aren't really alive can have emotions too.
Yeah.
What the heck? Well, that'll make more sense later. Let's take a dive somewhere beyond the sea into Finding Nemo. I'm so proud of that segue.
That was so good.
This same resentment can be seen in animals, as they have also shown that they can have resentment towards humans, but that they also have very similar social norms. Like they have schools, not just a pun for a school of fish, but like places where they learn. Things where they like, we stay away from fishing zones. Like, they're just as aware of humans as we are of fish. And then it can be shown also with the fish who are in the tank, like, they hate their owner because he mistreats them. And that can also be shown in Finding Dory. While the animals and toys might grow to show resentment towards humans, Dory's intellect, showing that she's very pop culture savvy and she could speak different languages, shows that, like, it hints that the closer you are to a human, the more time you spend with them. She was raised in an aquarium, so that shows that you can become smarter the closer and the more time you spend with human beings.
Yeah.
From the emotions they give off, We're connecting the dots. Jackson, you still following us?
Yeah. Is Inside Out next?
No, no. A little bit off.
So next is Ratatouille. It's more fuel to the fact that the closer and the more time that the animals spend near the humans, the more they inhabit those traits, like Remy. But it also shows how the rats hate the humans for how they treat them. We'll talk about that more later on in the theory. Toy Story 3 is next. It features a lot of hints at the larger universe in the form of Easter eggs that include Darla from Finding Nemo, a hint that Andy knows Carl and Ellie from Up, and potentially even a glimpse at a slightly older Boo who attends the daycare. Yeah, I know, shocker. The film even shows us that Buzz is powered by, by and large, batteries, like I was saying earlier. Wait. Another connection between the toys and corporations.
It, this is chronological, right?
Yes.
But Monsters, Inc. hasn't been said.
Well,
you will, so see.
You will see, Jackson.
You will see.
It gets quite interesting.
You're going to find the answer very soon, within the next 13 minutes, because we're kind of on a time crunch. So what?
Go.
What the heck? No, we're not going to speed through this. We're going
to... Okay, well, hurry up.
Toy Story 4. This film does a lot to answer questions of how the toys come to life, as we can see that a spork becomes a toy. And you want to know how it does it?
Emotions.
Jackson, you're following this thing with your laptop closed. You're actually paying attention. I'm so proud of you.
Awesome.
This is the most you stayed focused in an entire show. but it shows that the more emotion that's given to a specific toy, the girl who makes Sporky, like, loves it as her favorite toy, immediately it comes to life. So it shows that, like, the more focused emotion you can give towards something, the quicker they'll gain sentience, and how different levels have different sentience. Like, the spork knows it's a spork, but thinks that it's garbage and wants to just be thrown away. So it's, like, it's very self-aware. But then Woody also acknowledges that he's been having, like, conscious inner thoughts, something that none of the other toys have.
But since he's Andy's favorite and he gets, like, more emotion shown towards him, he's able to have... conscious thoughts like that.
Like, Buzz doesn't have a thought. Like, they're all aware that they're alive, but Woody's like, isn't there more to life than just this? Our role in society? Like, and then you're like, Woody, calm down. You're no Joaquin Phoenix, all right? Let's keep the Joker talk for the Joker. And then it also points out towards Andy's relationship towards Woody as being super powerful through the memories that they shared, and how that they can achieve a level of sentience that no one else has, and that's what makes Woody so different from everyone else. Makes more sense. Later...
In Up. So Up shows the start of the pollution, which will eventually lead to the rise of the machines, the third category. So the world is shown, like, changing from small houses like Carl's to being, like, giant skyscrapers. And that's, like, the whole plot of the movie, why he needs to move his house, because they're, like, trying to, like, kick him out. But that's his, like, house with his wife. He doesn't want to, like, leave it. And the company that is trying to force him out is By and Large. So they're in a lot of these movies. Then you also get to see more intelligence of animals, the dogs. They give him callers to speak, and also Kevin the bird. He's able to evade a very smart human who is able to make dogs talk. So he has to be intelligent in one way or another.
And that will all come into play in a little bit. Jackson, what do you think the next film is going to be?
After Up?
Mm-hmm. Give us a guess.
Wall-E, I guess. Like,
Jackson, that's so much later.
That's so
much later. The end of the Earth.
I can't think of, like, what happens after...
All right, well, I'm going to blow your socks off with this one, Inside Out.
Oh.
So.
Never saw that movie.
You never saw Inside Out. Yeah. Well, this one will make little to no sense. There's a character, his name is Bing Bong. He is Riley's, the girl who inhabits all these emotions. It's her imaginary friend. And so Bing Bong is able to stay alive because Riley still remembers him. And so the thing that it shows is that at one point, he falls into a pit of forgetfulness, and he, like, disappears, and it shows that, like, how powerful memory is, that when you forget about something, it ceases to exist. So it shows how powerful you can make sentience life from it and everything.
Is that segue into Coco?
It does.
It does.
Okay.
But just quick note, the reason that it's kind of centered around children is their emotions are very singular. So, like, they remember something being joyful or sad. But by the end of the movie, you see that Riley, is that her name?
Yes.
She starts to have, like, emotions that are joyful and sad. And so it's, like, harder for these emotions to be kind of, like, transferred to the animals without, like, when they're, like, so different.
And it shows, like, it will make sense later, that kids are a huge powerhouse of emotion, which is a huge energy that could create superpowers, sentient beings, stuff like that. So pay attention just how important kids are when we get to Monsters, Inc.
So, segueing into Coco, it's set in the modern day, It reveals more about the power of memory. Okay, so the plot of the movie is basically you put a picture of someone on the Ofrenda on the Day of the Dead. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then they're able to They're able to cross over the bridge from the afterlife into the normal life, but no one can see them, but they're there to visit their family. But as long as someone still remembers them, they get to stay in the afterlife. But the second someone forgets them, they're gone forever. We don't know where they go, but it's just kind of implied that they are truly forgotten and gone.
Which is a very scary thought that we will not get into on this show. Jackson, now that we've talked Coco, what's your next guess on what the next film is going to be?
Monsters, Inc.
Jackson!
There's only like 3 films that you could choose from, and you picked the wrong one.
Okay, what's the next
Cars! Ka-chow!
1, 2, and 3, baby.
That doesn't make sense.
It does, though.
I'm just going to hit you with all 3 of the
so
cars.
So can we just tell them why it's cars
Wait,
now?
Are cars and humans coexisting?
No.
No.
The humans left the planet because of pollution, but the cars took over after that, right? So Wall-E takes place way later, but that's because Wall-E sets in like a time setting where humans have already been gone for so long. So that's why it's like not here in the timeline, although humans have left the planet at this point.
And let's not get too ahead of ourselves, because this last little bit's going to get a little bit of a time warpy confusion thing. So we're going to break it down with the first 3 Cars movies right here. The film takes place after humans leave a polluted Earth, and the cars are most likely powered by and large, AI technology. Same stuff.
Another theory, though, the cars take on the personalities of their people, and they're not activated until that person like existed, kind of. So that explains why Cars has their own timeline. So like they have like world wars and they have different places on Earth. So they take on their owner's personality without like being their owner. You know what I mean?
And that could also be said through like a mix of the AI of like
a mix of AI and emotions.
And then
kind
the
of
emotion
like
makes them like, oh, I am my owner. But Cars 2 notably reveals that vehicles are facing a fuel shortage and that they can die. Like these cars have a life runtime. And it also confirms that all this is happening on Earth because there's still real like
places
that they mention, like Rio. And then they're just like, we're going to Rio. And it's not like a different place. It's exactly where it is in Brazil. And then Cars 3, it shows us that cars have a shelf life. Like even if they don't run out of fuel, they'll eventually just die out. They can't continue forever. And even if they find fuel, it shows that some organic life exists. When Cruise mentions steering around crabs, and they aren't like weird, car animal hybrids.
They're real crabs.
That's the first sign.
Can I interject really quick?
Yes.
So the reason that at the end of Wall-E, the Earth is still super polluted is because Cars takes place in between when humans left and when they come back. So humans left when it was polluted, the cars took over, and then the cars died out because of pollution and a lack of fuel, and so then the Earth was polluted again. But you would think that they would see that there's like plant life and stuff, those like Wall-E machines and like report, or Eves, they would report it, but they don't, because if you notice in the movie, when a plant is brought back, the AI system tries to like not let the captain know. So we don't know how many countless times that's happened in the past and the captain just doesn't know about it, or like maybe a ship failed on their way back. And so like, that's why they weren't able to like travel back until then. So now, Jackson, we're going to go into Wall-E, which is what you have been thinking this whole time.
This one's what do you think the next film is?
After Wall-E?
No. What do you think the film is?
Oh, Wall-E. Yeah.
Nice, Jackson. This takes place in the year 2800. And it involves, by and large, contaminating the Earth and then building ships to take people off the planet, which happened a long time ago, obviously. Wall-E is shown to be curious about human life, especially love, which may have caused him to be the last robot on the planet because he was able to still be fueled by their emotions and have like his own sentience type thing. After that is A Bug's Life. It's not really important to the Pixar theory. You could really place it whenever you wanted to, but we're going to place it here after Wall-E. We think it occurs after the humans return to Earth, and that would explain like why they don't fear humans as much, because like normally like humans like kill bugs, but when there's like a new group of humans, maybe that's not a thing that they do. Maybe they like respect the life that's there. And we know that life like that is able to exist because of the roaches and the crabs shown roaches in Wall-E, and then the crabs shown in Cars 3.
And then this could also be one that could be take place around the same time of Toy Story if you really wanted to. But we're going to say it's here because they have very similar things to how humans act, but as insects.
And again, they can't have sentience without humans being there, so it can't take place during Cars or anything like that.
So now we have our biggest thing yet, our final piece, the piece to the puzzle. Monsters University and Monsters, Inc. These films take place in the year 5000, when radiation and mutation turns every living thing on the Earth into some form of a monster. The big twist in this Pixar theory is that Boo is the witch from Brave, which we talked about earlier, and that's how she can transport through doors because she's so focused on trying to meet Sully again. So she goes into magic. She goes into that kind of stuff, and then she tries to find a way to meet his monster again.
So these doors are not actually just like going into separate universes. It's time travel.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
That's exactly what it is. So they know that they
So she figures that out, and then she is able to go... Sorry, go ahead, Damon.
You got two movies. I get this big one.
Yeah, but this is the fun one, and
yeah,
you're going to explain it poorly.
I'm not going to explain it poorly. Watch this. Monsters are... No, I'm kidding. So the way that they found the best way to power their society is through emotion, the thing that's been powering everything this whole time. And they thought that the most powerful emotion was fear. So that's why they scare kids in their closet.
Yeah.
And then they fill up the canisters and they power their cities and everything. But as we know through the film, they notice that joy, laughter, is 1,000 times more powerful than fear. And they change it to the monsters making each other laugh, which could be how Bing Bong is Riley's monster from Inside Out and that kind of stuff. It all kind of connects from back there. And it also involves the animals that remain on Earth. Yes, and that's why the witch wants to travel through doors and everything to get back to Sully.
Did you explain the carving?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And then in Brave, there's carvings throughout, and there's one that is exactly like Sully on her desk. And then you're like, why is that there? Mm-hmm. All right, so now that we explained it, what did you think of it so far?
Doesn't make sense.
The theory, it actually makes pretty good sense.
I think there's a lot of stretches in a lot of places.
Especially The Incredibles. The Incredibles kind of throws a huge wrench in it.
Well, I mean, it could just be in a universe where superpowers exist. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, if animals can talk, I think superpowers can exist. We can agree on that.
We're all civilized.
Come on.
But if everything is based on emotion, I'd like to think that Onward, like, the magic is kept alive by people like Barley. Because he believed purely in it.
Interesting.
So where do you pitch Onward to be?
Place it early.
Really? Where? Like what?
Before the good dinosaur?
Not before the good dinosaur. Because I would say before humans, though. Yeah, before humans.
I think that it doesn't necessarily go anywhere on the timeline. I think it's in a separate solar system or whatever because, and hear me out here, there are two moons on the planet. Earth doesn't have two moons. It cannot take place on Earth.
Oh, is that your theory that was going to blow my mind?
Yeah, how could it take place on Earth? There's two
moons.
Buddy,
this is how I'm going to blow your mind real
quick. Go ahead, buddy.
It takes place before the good dinosaur when asteroids were still making the planet and everything. That's why we got two moons before one of them crashes and misses the planet that was supposed to kill the dinosaurs. That being said, that's how they all have all these societal norms and everything, and that's how we have this mythology of these myths.
So how did all the monsters die out? Or the
Easy.
The, like
dinosaurs.
Elves and stuff. The dinosaurs just
the
killed
dinosaurs
them.
Just
oh, so
came
they
to
killed
me.
The wizards. Dinosaurs killed wizards. Way Dinosaur, to go, Danon.
1,000% of the time.
I just think it takes place on a separate Earth, and I don't think that's like
a
difficult thing to believe. But how? It couldn't take place on Earth. I don't think. Because then there'd be ruins in the good dinosaur, which there's not.
I think pound for pound, a Tyrannosaurus Rex will beat a wizard.
No.
Who's not paying attention?
I don't. Okay, who's not? Yeah, sure. Okay.
All right, that's our show for the week. Thank you for tuning in, Jackson. Thank you for letting us teach you the Pixar theory. Mm-hmm. Make sure to tune in next week for our review of The Hunt, and we'll go over some of the best Battle Royale films. Sadly, Fortnite will not be on the list. I can't wait to see you all next week, and I'm sure I won't be hit by a car or anything.
Yep.
Right, guys?
Probably not.
We'll see you all next week. Guys, I'm not actually getting hit by a car, right? I'm just, like, leaving for 2 weeks and then coming back.